Hi, I'm Daniel, founder of Pretty Litter. Cats and cat owners deserve better than any old-fashioned litter. That's why I teamed up with scientists and veterinarians to create Pretty Litter. Its innovative crystal formula has superior odor control and weighs up to 80% less than clay litter. Pretty Litter even monitors health by changing colors to help detect early signs of potential illness. It's the world's smartest kitty litter.
Go to prettylitter.com and use code ACAST for 20% off your first order and a free cat toy. Terms and conditions apply. See site for details.
Hiring for your small business? If you're not looking for professionals on LinkedIn, you're looking in the wrong place. That's like looking for your car keys in a fish tank. LinkedIn helps you hire professionals you can't find anywhere else, even those who aren't actively searching for a new job but might be open to the perfect role. In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't even visit other leading job sites. So start looking in the right place. With LinkedIn, you can hire professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/people today.
Tired of ads interfering with your favorite sports podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Stay ahead of the game by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/sportsadfree. That's amazon.com/sportsadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
I'm Kate Thornton. Join me every week on White Wine Question Time, the podcast that asks famous faces three thought-provoking questions over three glasses of wine.
It's very rare to be introduced with such a thorough introduction, and it's kind of lovely to listen to all that and go, yeah, I've had a good life, right?
You really have.
How did you find that?
I can't even remember.
Yeah, you do your research, Kate, man. I'll tell you that.
Do you know what? You are the only person ever, no other journalist has ever made that connection.
Wow, what a great question.
And receives some truly memorable answers.
And Tom Cruise came, and Nicole Kidman. I go to him, listen, before you go, Tom, I just want you to know, if you fancy a foursome, I'm up for it, and I know Anne-Marie doesn't mind.
When I first dated my now husband, I joined a gym for, I'm going to say, £1,000 a year, just so I could go off and have a poo.
Actually, I got heckled once in Wales, and there was a bloke at the bar on crutches, and he actually said to me, I'd rather fall over than listen to this shit, and he threw his crutches at me and fell over. Can you believe that?
I've got some cat's ashes, I don't know who they are.
You've been catfished by your own cat.
Exactly, seriously, man.
Dad, have you thought about putting in a breakfast nook? And my dad would say something like that. Have you thought about getting your own fucking house?
How did you give a duck an orgasm, Craig?
It's good with them, you know. I know my way around a duck.
So, if you fancy a sit-down with the likes of Adam Hills, Tom Allen, Hannah Waddingham, Phil Tufnell, James Acaster and Ed Gamble, Daisy May Cooper, and tons more, then join me every Tuesday and Friday. Search White Wine Question Time in your podcast app to subscribe and listen now. White Wine Question Time is a Stack production.
Pour some sugar on us, ladies and gentlemen. Welcome to the Football Ramble. Liverpool are still in it. Arsenal and Manchester United buggered up. And Andros Townsend proved me right. Hey, five Premier League goals for Andros Townsend.
Game to spare.
I forgot about that.
A game to spare.
I've not given you a chance to forget about
no,
it.
No, but I found out about it on Saturday and it upset me. So I kind of forgot.
It was also a winner as well, effectively.
Yeah. Thousands of you tweeted me to congratulate me. And in a way, it was sort of my goal. What I did was as good as what Townsend did.
Yeah. How do you feel about your fifth Premier League goal of the season?
I feel pretty good, Jim. Yeah. I'm on for player of the season.
Yeah,
that's why I'm going to give him a start. He'll score.
He'll score, you see. That's the difference. We will get to that game in a minute.
Oh, double what? You get double bubble on this, do you? Right, yeah. Okay. Do you want to gloat now? Do all your gloating now.
Pete,
get it all
Marcus
out.
Has decided that Andros Townsend scoring his fifth Premier League goal this season is the headline story on the country's 14th biggest independent football podcast.
Yeah.
14th?
I think so, yeah.
Are we up to that 14th? High now?
I think so, yeah. Yeah, oh, checked goodness. Earlier. Yeah.
How about that, eh?
Yeah, football forensics number one still.
I thought I was getting a bit giddy. Well, let's start with some more Premier League chat. Or let's continue it. Rather, Liverpool Divock. Mm. Oh, what a vital one.
Oh, no, we're starting with the Newcastle loss, are we? Right, okay. Kind of kangaroo
so
court
many,
is this?
So many digs.
Oh. Tell you what, I thought, because Luke was touting Newcastle to cause an upset, and he was wrong. That prediction was wrong. The Andrew Townsend one was right, but that one was wrong. But you were close, Luke Moore.
It took a lot longer. It took a lot longer to be wrong than your Burnley decision did.
Which one was that?
You were talking about Burnley out scuppering Man City.
Oh, I was about 11 centimetres away, yeah, wasn't
that's
I?
That's true, yeah, maybe right, you were closer. But Liverpool, I mean, got over the line, shall we say, with quite a questionable free kick decision.
Fabinho is an absolute sausage.
I think the referee made some funny decisions in that match, I think.
Are you all convinced that Divock actually got his head on that as well?
I wasn't sure.
I'm not saying it was, obviously it was a goal, but I wonder if it should have been an own goal.
He loves those late ones, doesn't he? Mm.
Oh, he does, yeah. He scored two,
yeah,
I think.
Exactly. Yeah.
And one I don't think he even scored.
But I think he enjoyed it, though.
Did he enjoy it, yes or no?
I didn't say he was a prolific.
Take it to VAR. Check his heartbeat.
No, he hasn't enjoyed that enough, not a goal.
Klopp's war on telly. See that?
No? War on telly. It's
Klopp's war on telly.
Oh no, I thought you said Klopp's war on telly. Is this a new TV show?
It's in the running order.
He's usually very
pronounce it properly. Then
I shouldn't have to. I wrote it there. I can do what I want.
I thought you were talking about Klopp swearing on telly, and that's what I was expecting because that's what you've written in the running order. But you said Klopp's war on telly.
Well, and it's begun
with a swear word.
Yeah, he's a leader of war, and that was the signal to begin.
Do you think,
you know, like in Gladiator, where they stick up with the two fingers, is it, or whatever, yeah, to the archers? That's Klopp now. He's war on telly. Neil Warnock's involved.
I want to put something to the table when you quite finish that nonsense. Thank you very much. And I want to put to the table that, you know, Klopp doing the whole, oh, I'm lovable, I don't speak English as a first language, I'm going to accidentally swear.
Yeah.
Do any of you think for 1 second that he doesn't know what a swear word is in the English?
No, of course not.
So he's done it a few times.
Exactly. Is it an act?
Henrik Larsson once swore on telly.
There we go.
Johnny Rotten.
It was the same word. I think he was channeling the spirit of Rotten.
Yeah.
What do you think of the performance? Shit.
Is that what Klopp said?
No, he said the F word, didn't he?
Did he? Yeah.
I think he said F in hell or something.
He said you have to bleep it, eh?
Yeah.
You'll have to bleep it now, eh?
You'll have to bleep it, eh?
He did say a brilliant thing that was a lot less sweary after the game, which was, is there some sort of history between Liverpool and Newcastle that I don't know about? Because the atmosphere is incredible. And obviously, those two 4-3s would be the thing that jumped to mind. I love that. I can't help but love Jurgen Klopp.
You don't find him a bit affected? I quite like him, but I sometimes find him a bit affected.
I'm not there yet.
I mean, I felt like I didn't often think that. When he ran onto the pitch against Everton, I found that was a little, look at me, what am I like? But generally, like, the good outweighs any sort of suspicion that it might be a bit put on. I just like the guy. I think he's fun. And I think actually he's used his squad brilliantly in this game as well, because Daniel Sturridge is a build-up play in the leading up to Salah's goal was fantastic. And obviously, Divock Origi, that's his second winner of the season, isn't it? I believe, at least.
Everton, he's scored against Everton.
Yeah, so, I mean, they're players that aren't playing much and they've come on and they've made a difference. They've kept up that performance level that Liverpool have as a whole when they've not been playing that much. And for him to manage to keep those players motivated, I mean, look down the road at Man United. Obviously, there's a difference in quality there, but they're just so despondent. And those players are barely playing, and they're still buying into this positivity, and it's getting the points on the board. And I think he's doing such an exceptional job.
What did you think of Van Dijk basically saying to Alexander Arnold, no.
I'm pleased you pointed that out, because I noticed that, and I thought it was fascinating.
And he said, Shakira, you take it.
Yeah. Mm. He was absolutely incandescent. He was so insistent that Shakira, I mean, probably because Shakiri took it with his left, right?
Yeah.
So it would have swung in.
Swinger.
Whereas Alexander Arnold would have took it with his right.
Mm-hmm. Well, maybe he'd observed, because he'd obviously scored a header.
Yes.
Earlier on.
By the way,
game.
The marking for that header, Pete Donaldson, I'm holding well, you.
The marking probably for all of the Liverpool goals, I think, was dreadful.
But that's
absolutely
probably
dreadful.
That's probably why he wanted it put right in there. I forget actually if that was an outswing or an inswinger, that goal. I think it might have been Alexander Arnold. I can't remember. But Van Dijk, a lot of rumours, you say, for that goal. And the goalkeeper didn't come to get it. And maybe he'd seen the keeper's not kind of coming to collect these. We need something. Let's put it right in on the money.
That was that Van Dijk first goal was an Alexander Arnold assist, because he assisted the other two.
Yeah,
Shakiri assisted one. Yeah, I don't know if it's one of those things where sometimes it's easy to feel the narrative however you want, because you can go,
if you'd have messed it up.
Then. Yeah, you can go, well, that was Van Dijk doing that. But equally, if they hadn't scored, you know, wouldn't have meant
Liverpool
anything.
Have reached 94 points.
It's crazy.
That's better than Manchester United have ever achieved in the Premier League.
Yeah. That's insane.
And if any Liverpool fans take much consolation from that, then if they don't win the league, then if it's barely a consolation. However, 94 points, they'll probably get 97. They would be favourites to get a win against Wolves, of course.
Yeah.
It's phenomenal. I know we were mentioning it last week and much has been said, but you can't stop saying it. Just how good Manchester City and Liverpool have been this season.
Yeah, it's ridiculous.
Absolutely
incredible. For Liverpool
incredible.
To get up to that level, I mean, obviously City finished on 100 points last season, didn't they? They'll be a little bit behind that this season, but not by much. But for Liverpool to get up there and to close the gap that much, even if they don't win it, which I have to say, again, I really hope they do. I just think it'd be more interesting. And I guess we'll see what Brendan Rodgers has up his sleeve. But yeah, it's what a vintage season this has been. It's the best title race that there's been in years, a long time.
I mean, the stats would suggest that really that they're going to be incredibly unlucky if they don't win the Premier League. Mm-hmm. I mean, they could get to 97, as you say. They've lost one game. I think if you said to someone, to a team, oh, you're going to be second at the beginning of March, and then you're going to win, I think, what is it, 8 Premier League games in a row, probably 9 if they beat Wolves, and you're still... You'd think, well, I'll take that. Because you think there's no chance you're not going to win the
league. You're going to get at least 94 points this season. Yeah. Yeah. I think we'll be all right with that.
It'll be the third highest points total ever, right? And the other two will be Man City's.
Yes. So if the results go as the way we expect.
Have the sort of middling teams who kind of at times have let Manchester City's reputation influence them, they step off and they kind of like defend in numbers and stuff. Has that affected that particular situation? Like, obviously, Manchester City have got the better players, and sometimes I think Manchester City arrive in people's grounds and they go, oh my God, we're going to get absolutely hammered here. Let's damage limitation. Let them score one goal and just shut up shop.
That's Newcastle's.
Yeah. Well, no, we beat them, so.
But Man City's record is even better, and we can wax lyrical all we like about Liverpool. Yeah. And then they deserve credit. I mean, both teams deserve a huge amount of credit, but all the stats you throw around about Liverpool, I mean, you can throw around about Man City. I think
but it was more of a surprise.
Sure, yeah, they've been more improved.
Because Manchester City, they will get, if they win the next two games, 98 points.
Yeah, they're fewer than last season. Yeah.
Drop off from last season.
Yeah, it's not good enough. But no, with the exception at the end of January, when Man City lost 2-1 to Newcastle at St James's Park, since Boxing Day, when they
that
lost,
seems like a long
yeah,
time.
Yeah, but since Boxing Day, Man City have won every other Premier League game.
It's absolutely. So they've
in the second half of the season, they've dropped 2 points. That's it.
They're living their best.
Sorry,
lives,
3 points.
Mate.
3 points. That's it.
They're living their best lives.
They are
incredible.
It's a marvelous thing when Solomon Rondon gets his laces behind the ball, Peter.
That was the most Rondon thing to ever Rondon.
Yeah. Again, not great marking in that particular thing, but he finished it very, very well.
It's lovely when he gets those laces behind that damn thing.
He's such a unit.
He's a ball magnet for like 65 minutes.
He's so good. Like, I've never seen a player, certainly in Newcastle colours, just be able to just hold up the ball so well. You put it in that kind of rough
Serles.
Area.
Alan Shearer.
Well, he plays very like Serles, I think.
But where's he off to next season? Because he's only on loan.
He's only on loan.
He's not done enough.
No. Well, it's not the kind of player that Mike Ashley wants to sign. He wants to sign a 19-year-old player with sell-on value, as we all... It's always the dream, isn't it? Yeah, sell-on value.
Problem is, if they're not...
Sell-on value! That's what I'm in the stand. Sell-on value!
Sell him on!
Also, sell him on! If they're not very good, it's very hard to get that value in there.
Yeah, don't realise, Mike, you sign them and their value goes down. Yeah. That's what happens. It's a dreadful model.
Net gain.
There was obviously the big. It's a T4, the thing, the big old flag that
T4,
they.
Yeah.
That they in the entirety of the Gallagher, this massive flag that had to come from Poland, and they had to do it by.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
And I think the club actually paid for the whole.
It complemented the sportsdirect.com thing just above it. Well,
don't spoil this.
No,
it's very spicy.
Fair enough.
That is the reality of the situation. And what I'm
saying
is...
Well, that's what it said net spend on the flag.
Pete, was there a bit of crowd trouble at the game as well?
There was a bit of crowd trouble. It was mainly Liverpool, but I think it didn't help. A lot of the Newcastle fans sold their tickets to Liverpool fans.
Wasn't it the case they should
take a long look at themselves.
Yeah, wasn't it the case that some horses got in as well?
And they came out fighting.
Centaurs.
Yeah.
They need two seats.
Well, of course, at the time of recording, Manchester City have yet to play Brendan Rodgers, Leicester. If you are listening to this before the game, you're a Man City fan.
if it's goalless at half time, I think Leicester are going to get a shooing in the second half.
Brendan Rodgers' teeth. I think Rodgers is going to get his teeth stuck into tonight.
Right.
Yeah. Okay. No matter what happens.
Okay.
We're gonna help out the Reds. Okay.
Yeah. And can we talk about Manquillo's diving header when he could easily have shot?
Yeah, real
defender.
I was really frustrated
that, wasn't
with
it?
Him doing that.
Yeah, it was
so bizarre. I was frustrated with him for that.
At one point, Shah went on one of these. He does these Philippe Albert runs every now and again, where he just sort of moseys past about three or four players.
He started
doing one yesterday. I was like, go on. But he barely made it past the halfway line. I was so annoyed. Mm. Fabian, get involved, mate.
He's trying to get involved. My goodness.
Do you rate him highly, Pete? Because from what I've seen of Shah, he looks really, really good.
Yeah, it was a pretty good signing. But again, you know, Rafa can pick a player every now and again.
I forgot Javier Manquillo was there, I have to say, for a long while.
Mm. We've got a few injuries at the back, so.
But it ended up a good win for Liverpool nonetheless.
A win's a win.
Absolutely. Right. Chelsea beat Watford.
Sorry, should that be a sending off, by the way? Should we get into those waters before we move on to the next one?
What one?
The handball on the line.
Went to Atsu,
of course.
No, because he played advantage.
Very fortunate though. Mm. Yeah. Very fortunate.
So it's not a sending.
But you'd wonder if the guy who scores a Newcastle goal, I forget who it was Atsu, if he had the presence of mind, he should have just scuffed it.
Yeah.
Because the referee would have sent Alexander Arnold off then. Yeah. If he'd seen it. And interestingly,
he's a professional. Stick it in.
Trent also said after the game, he admitted it after the game. Normally you'd expect a player to go, oh, you know what happened very quickly. I can't really remember what went on.
I leaned towards the ball and my elbow came out.
I'd have to look back at the tape or whatever. But he was like, oh yeah, I don't think my arm was out that far. But yeah. Careful, mate.
Chelsea are third.
Yes, they are.
They are, yes. Mm.
How about that, eh?
Mm. I think
they've shown a little bit of desire.
Well, they're the only team who seem to want to get a chance.
What a bloody shit show it is.
Oh my God. Yeah, I thought with Cardiff going down, I thought actually this might be great. Like Brighton, you know, we'll just feel relieved. Might be a lovely day out for them.
I'm afraid not.
No, it wasn't.
Chelsea, though, that was a proper... Okay, first half, they weren't so good. But second half, they turned the screw and they brushed Watford aside. I mean, Watford were okay on the day. But it was good to see Ruben Loftus-Cheek among the goals again. He scored a few. Those driving performances from midfield, he looks brilliant. Mm. And Sarri even said that he could be one of England's best players, you know, soon enough. And I know Chelsea have got that transfer embargo and one or two other things. We were very keen for Loftus-Cheek to go abroad or at least move. Mm.
I just wanted to see him play, really.
We wanted to see him play, and it's taken a while. I wonder if at the start of the season, Sarri did say, I will, you know, bed you into the team. Yeah. I will, you know, we will get you there. Mm. And he's bided his time, and he's fought for his place. And now you'd say that Loftus-Cheek, at the start of next season, he's got to be thinking, right, I want to put down a marker and be a starter for this side.
He's made 38 appearances this season.
A lot of those are from the bench, though. Right?
Yeah, of course. Yeah. So I think he started 5 Premier League games and come off the bench in 18 of them. But he didn't actually start the weekend. He came on for Kante, right?
He came on
after about 7 or 8 minutes because there was an injury.
That's right.
So he didn't start the game anyway, but obviously he was still able to have an impact
on it. But for someone like Loftus-Cheek, he looks like the real deal. Mm. I think to myself, right, okay.
Should be starting every week somewhere.
Exactly, yeah. And I think the start of next season, if he's not starting for Chelsea, or at least turning some of those substitute appearances into starts, you've got to say to yourself, come on.
But it's an interesting situation for someone like Loftus-Cheek. And I know Hudson-Odoi's got an injury now. But if Maurizio Sarri delivers top four for Chelsea, which he has, he has now, right? That's done, isn't it?
Yeah.
He's done. And he delivers them. Say he delivers them a Europa League final.
League Cup final as well? I know they've been
to the League Cup final as well.
Yeah.
It's almost a confirmation and like a positive statement about his own methods. So he can almost go back to the club and to the squad and say, look, by the way, look, you didn't win the Premier League, but look at what those guys are doing. That's one of those things. I've delivered Champions League football back. We're going to be playing at the top table next season, et cetera, so don't question my methods because they work.
Mm.
And that might be actually quite bad news for someone like Ruben Loftus-Cheek if Sarri decides that actually he's using him enough. He wants to use him as a squad player and he's got his first 11 that he likes to pick every week. Because, I mean, when everyone's fit, really, for most of the season, it's been that 11 you expect with Kovacic or Barkley.
Yeah, but I think Loftus-Cheek can slot in there.
Well, of course.
I think he can play.
But what one of you guys was about to go on to say, I'm sure, is that you think next season Loftus-Cheek will play a lot more. I don't think he will.
I think that's what he should be doing. Mm. And I think if he isn't, then he can say, right, sod this, come on.
There's no way he's going to move, though, is it?
Because the transfer embargo is exactly. going to stand in his way, isn't
he's
it?
Never going to move now.
Just walk out.
Yeah.
There are no laws against that sort of thing.
Do you think Eden Hazard's going to feel bad about possibly not leaving Chelsea because of the transfer embargo? I'm going to say no.
Yeah, I've heard he really likes Real Madrid and that anyone would be flattered to be linked with him.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah.
Oh, my goodness, yeah.
What's that? Were you about to ask me about Real Madrid? Yeah. Were you? Yeah, you ask me now. Yeah, I think they're a great club. Yeah.
David Luiz's header was enjoyable. Higuain's finish was delightful.
Mm. They're very nice.
Dare I say Higuain?
Yeah,
egg in the making.
Emerging egg.
But Chelsea, in their lovely new kit, I quite like it. A lot of people slagging it off. Mm. I think it's all right. They put Watford to the sword 3-0. Good win. They're in top four positions, and well done to them. Manchester United and Arsenal are a disgrace.
Next.
I mean...
You're fuming.
Yeah, this is like when Arsenal balls up the Europa League last season.
Well, I think I paused that too, but there's the end of the film The Jerk with Steve Martin where he's lost all of his money.
Spoilers.
And he's got a chair over his shoulder. He's going, all I have in my world is a thermos and like a little bat and ball thing. And he's, oh, it's all I have is this chair. And Gary Neville sounded as despondent as him. Yeah. He was like going... They're not even professionals anymore.
I don't like anything about this team.
Well, Gary Neville sounded like it was the end of Event Horizon with Lawrence Fishburne.
I mean, whatever I can say.
We're all going to get turned to dust.
Gary Neville said it all. With regards to Arsenal, now watching them in the Europa League against Valencia.
Nice send off for Ramsey, wasn't it?
What, that Brighton one?
Yeah.
Oh, we'll get to that in a bit. The Valencia game.
Enjoy the Champions League.
I thought to myself. At 2-1, I thought, if Arsenal take a 2-1 lead in the second leg, I'm going to be angry. Mm. This is shades of Atletico Madrid. Mm. They got that third goal, and I'm like, all right, you've done enough there.
Yeah, we'll live to fight another day.
I'll put my sword back in its scabbard.
Yeah.
And then they do that against already safe, non-scoring Brighton. Arsenal booed off, and as you say, Luke... A fitting end, or a fitting send-off for Aaron Ramsey and Petr Cech.
But actually,
and Danny Welbeck as well.
Actually, it's a fitting sort of way for Arsenal to sort of flub out of the top four contention because it was just so insipid and it was just so drab and just lacked energy and invention. And I think that's been a lot of the problem with Arsenal this season. It's just been, you don't really know what the plan is. And it feels like that's not really become any clearer. There's been good patches of wins, but they've scraped a lot of them. And it still feels like it doesn't feel like there's been progress, really. Obviously, you need to give the manager time and he needs to sort of get some signings in and yada, yada, yada. But it has been a very sort of fine season.
Considering all the bad results Arsenal have had recently, you think to yourself, right, you're in a situation now, Spurs have lost and they've had two red cards.
Let's get them a nice moving in present.
Manchester United have drawn away to Huddersfield Town, right? You're going to get given an early penalty against Brighton at home. You win that, you'll be in contention on a final day. How do they stuff that up?
Yeah, Aubameyang had a chance as well to win it.
Am I wrong here?
Look, at least the Man United match had a broken corner flag. That's all I'm saying. But the Arsenal match was insipid.
The other thing, Arsenal, in addition to all that, they come off the back of three Premier League defeats in a row at a key time in April, and all three of them, on paper, they should be winning.
It's been
at least they stopped the rot against Brighton, eh?
Yeah, it's been platform. It's a platform for the Burnley game. Yeah,
yeah.
It's nowhere near good enough. But I do think, and I've said this a lot, so apologies for repeating myself, but Emery's trying to change a culture there, I think, and it's hard for them to. He's still got the same players. He's still got the same dressing room.
But I think it's just.
I feel though, even with that in mind, though, three defeats in a row in the Premier League where you concede three goals in each of them, and then that is just not good enough. Changing a culture or not, like he should be doing better there.
One of them was at home to Crystal Palace. Yeah. I mean,
poor old Aaron Ramsey as well. He was really, really emotional, understandably
so. Yeah, of course.
But yes, I think you're
ironically
right.
He's exactly the kind of player they needed.
Yes,
yeah, that's so, yeah.
Such a shame for him. Obviously, they've still got the Europa League to fight away, and they're in a good position to try and reach the final. But Aaron Rams, I think when the dust settles, when a few months have gone by, because understandably very emotional when he said he turned up a boy, he's left a man, and so on. I think he'll be relieved to pull on the black and white of it.
Oh, you would be, wouldn't you?
I mean, it must be so frustrating playing in a team like that where it's just the norm to just mess things up, to have that, oh, here we go again sort of feeling. Mm. And it's, good luck to him. You know?
What about that fourth red card for Spurs?
Yeah, that was foolish.
Orange card?
No, it was red.
Black.
It was a red card.
What about Son? Your man Son, Peter?
Yeah, yeah, that was a surprising one. He really, it was Lerma, wasn't it? It stepped on his foot first, but he goaded him into that and he fell for it.
I think you could probably, if you had to dish out sympathy for either of those red cards, you'd probably have more sympathy for Son than you would for Foyth, who's Foyth was just over the top of the ball.
He knew
high
as well.
Exactly.
Mm-hmm.
But even so, I mean, I don't know. It looked to me that Pochettino has said to them before the game, because you know he can be an aggressive character, Pochettino, he's very sort of solid. Mm. It looked to, I don't know this, but it looked to me like he said to the team, by the way,
don't think
you're walking into that team on Wednesday. Play for your position in the Champions League semi-final and show us how much you want it. Let's get this win. And they've obviously just gone completely over
top. Because Dyer could have gone as well.
Eric Dyer had to get subbed off. What is it about Spurs right at the end of the season? Do you remember a couple of years
Chelsea.
Ago, Stamford Bridge?
Yeah, the Bridge thing. It's mad, isn't it? It's like, it really... It's not the mentality of a team that are going to go on and achieve big things, is it? If that when the pressure is on, that you lose your head like that. And
well, they're putting the yarbun. Just have double yarbun.
If they're a few goals down away to Ajax in the last few minutes of that game,
lumps. There's going to be lumps kicked.
I hope they've got big shin pads, those Ajax players.
So Arsenal are still hoping for an 8-goal swinger, aren't they, on the final day?
Yeah.
Oh, yeah.
Let's hold out. Let's hope that kills you.
Yeah, it could happen.
Do you know what will happen? They'll get a 7-goal swing.
Yeah!
What would happen if it was level? It would go on goals scored, wouldn't it?
Yeah, that's right, yeah. Which
it won't matter.
Arsenal were ahead of Spurs on at the moment.
So still a bit of hope then.
Yeah.
Still a bit of hope. All right.
So you're saying there's a chance?
There is. After the break, we're going to talk about Andros Townsend a bit more. See you in a minute.
Small details are big surfaces. Tight corners are odd shapes. Flat, rounded, textured, or tall. Whatever your next project, there's a spray paint pattern that's just right. Because Rust-Oleum's new Custom Spray 5-in-1 gives you control with 5 different spray patterns. So you can tackle nooks, crannies, edges, and curves without worrying about drips, runs, uneven coverage, or anything else. Custom Spray 5-in-1. Only from Rust-Oleum.
Hey, I'm Ryan Reynolds. Recently, I asked Mint Mobile's legal team if big wireless companies are allowed to raise prices due to inflation. They said yes. And then when I asked if raising prices technically violates those onerous 2-year contracts, they said, what the f*** are you talking about, you insane Hollywood ass f-. So to recap, we're cutting the price of Mint Unlimited from $30 a month to just $15 a month. Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month. Slows. Full terms at mintmobile.com.
This show is sponsored by BetterHelp. How's your social battery right now? We're nearly at the end of the Premier League season, so I'm pretty drained. So many tense matches, and some not so tense, as well as point deductions, a battle for the title, and teams on the brink of relegation. All that suspense has me needing a well-deserved break. With the air in full swing, it can be easy to get swept up in work, social engagements, even keeping up with all this football, and we can spread ourselves too thin. But with therapy, you can learn to prioritise your time and really recharge your batteries. It's helpful for learning how to set personal boundaries and empowering you to be the best version of yourself, because you should spend your time on your own terms. So, if you're thinking of starting therapy, give BetterHelp a try. It's entirely online, designed to be convenient, flexible, and suited to your schedule. Just fill out a brief questionnaire to get matched with a licensed therapist and switch therapists at any time for no additional charge. Find your social sweet spot with BetterHelp. Visit betterhelp.com/ramble today to get 10% off your first month. That's BetterHelp, HELP.com/ramble.
Hello there, Pete Donaldson here from the Football Ramble. You might be aware of my work with a wee interjection post ads. Villa Plus have brought us a fantastic competition. They're all about adding extra. They've teamed up with us here at the Football Ramble. You and three buddies could win a week-long Villa holiday in Menorca, plus the chance to get involved in a very sunny, special game of Going for Glod with me and the boys before dinner and drinks with us while we watch the Copa del Rey, the brother of recording artist Lana Del Rey, of course. Head on over to villaplus.com/ramble to enter. The competition closes this coming Monday the 13th. Get involved, for crying out loud, my glod is ready for you.
What the fuck?
Jose Mourinho!
Give me the basket.
If forgot I made that one.
Ooh,
oh, that's
put
nice.
The fucking Jose Mourinho in the basket.
Nice surprise.
What
yeah.
a mishmash. It's yeah. now time for emails with Petey Don.
It is time for emails with Petey Don. Pete Stone says...
I'm the only bee in your bonnet.
Sorry guys. Say I'm the only bee
in your bonnet. Not the bees! Ah! You've got mail.
Bad bees!
You were admiring the previous jingle too much.
You've worked so hard at it, I don't want it to not get an airing.
Yeah, exactly.
We've Peter W. Stones, musician and educator.
Peter W. Stones, yeah. Great name.
Great Stones.
Everybody's got to hear the Pete and W. Stones.
W. Stones.
I don't know that song.
W. Stones. It's off Doggy Style. Ah. He's adapted it, so it's not as rude.
Put on Mourinho on the basket.
Yeah.
Hi all, Pete, what do you think about that big giant We Are Mags crowd flag? It looked twattish.
Oh, hang on a minute, you've already said you liked
yes,
it.
It's gone Stonesy.
Like some sort of crap Americanism. What even is a mag?
a crap
abbreviation. But then some people still call my team Forest the equally twattish nickname the Tricky Trees. Hate some fans. Also, Andros Townsend scored. Think he's been waiting all his time to just troll the show. Keep it real. Pete in the West Midlands.
I like
musician
Pete.
And God, educator.
God. I like Pete.
Stonesy, make sure you come and see us at a live show. Yeah.
You certainly educated me with that.
It's a bit of self.
I love the note. I love that some Forest fans call themselves the Tricky Trees.
Yeah, I like it. Yeah, it's adorable.
Yeah, listen, how can you not get behind a team
who
just
Forest.
Finished ninth, their best finish since 2012?
They are going to get a very brief mention later.
There we go. I'll probably say that fact again.
Sid has also got in touch as well, speaking of Nottingham. Hi, gents. After hearing Pete mention you need more tickets sold in Leeds and Nottingham, and with the offer of free beer, how could I resist? I'm really interested in buying tickets for your Nottingham show. I can't find the venue website for Nottingham, and I'm having issues booking. Any help? Much appreciated. Regards, Sid. I was told by a man stronger than me
that we had
a date in Nottingham, and I was in the middle of the show, and I said that there were tickets available in Nottingham.
It's actually Northampton, isn't it?
Northampton.
Yeah. This is Worcester and Winchester all over again.
Mm. Birmingham and I spent so much time at Nottingham bus station when I was a ute because I used to go out with a girl from Mansfield.
Shooting up. All right.
What did you say, shooting up?
No. You may have heard that. But I would say that. 4th of October, we're playing Royal and Durngate in Northampton. There are tickets available, ramblelive.com. Let's clear that one up. That's probably what you meant, isn't it?
Mm. That's not what I meant. I was told directly by a man.
Okay, it's probably what he meant.
Yeah, so we're playing Southampton, you say?
Yeah, stop it.
That's it. I've got to deal
with it. Did you sell any tickets for your tour? No, because what we did is, right, we very cleverly seeded out a load of events we weren't playing and then confused people by doing that.
Northampton.
The point is, I work with 4 or 5 people who are all from south of, I don't know, London. So they don't know where anything is.
Yeah, correct. That's true.
What are you talking about?
Marcus.
What? Marcus.
Let him carry on.
How dare you?
It's short thefootballramble.com if you want to get in touch with the show.
Our geography is very good.
Mine's terrible.
Jim and I.
Mine isn't very good.
All right, mine's decent.
You're just weirdly proud.
I was obviously
the capital city of Nottingham?
Let's not do this.
Northampton. Right. Sorry, Peter. Next email.
He's done enough of that now, Mark.
Yeah. All right. Yes, Andros Townsend. Scored the winning goal for Crystal Palace to condemn Cardiff City and Pete Donaldson. He got his 5th league goal of the season, which is what I said. Pete was very, very disparaging with his comments about Andros Townsend earlier on in the season.
Took his fucking time, didn't he, mate?
Do you... Hang on, did he do it or not? Did
second
he
last not? Match of the season.
Yeah.
And he played a lot of times.
All right, so if Man City or Liverpool win the title on the last day of the season, you took your time about it.
Yeah. Can I just interrupt this incredibly erotic exchange by saying
it's like women in love, isn't it?
This is the first time that Andros Townsend scored 5 league goals in a season.
Yes.
At any level.
Yeah. Take it.
He's blotted his copybook there.
I mean, he went on loan at Yeovil Town and only scored one goal.
How many games did he play?
That makes my shout even more impressive because it was an unprecedented Andros Townsend.
He's looking very stylish at the moment. He's got a good look. I'm enjoying it.
Yeah. Well, that's the kind of confidence you get when you start
because at the end of his Newcastle career, he looked like his hair was going. He looked about 50. And now he looks like a young buck again. It's beautiful. Yeah,
that's right. Roy
the ball will do that to you, won't he?
He will do.
Give you a lust for life, Pete.
He's had some lovely goals this season.
Yeah,
Andros.
He has.
Yeah.
Really has done.
Oh, that one against City. Come on.
This one at the weekend was great, wasn't it?
I'd love
to see
one.
It spinning off the post almost. Yeah.
Yeah. I love the fact, you know, we all know the goal that Andros Townsend scored against Man City.
There's another one at Selhurst Park, rivaled in the top.
I love that Pete looks at that goal and goes, there's a man who won't score 5 Champions League goals this season. Pete uses that as a negative.
That's a man off form. Yeah, because people were getting really excited about him, and you could hear from certain parts of the media sort of going, I understand that he adds so much to the team. And you're going, does he?
Nobody said that, Peter. You interpret it poorly, and I called you out on it, and now it's come back to bite you on the bottom.
No, I would say
this is ugly.
The type
you.
Of player that Andros Townsend is, right? He's 27 years old.
Yeah.
He's an attacking player. He's only got 39 goals in his entire career.
Yeah, five of them this season.
Yeah, five in the league, actually. Yeah.
In the league, yeah. Yeah, that's right, because he scored more, and people like, no, league.
Yeah.
Yeah, league.
Yeah, well, he's done
that. You moved the goalpost, and he volleyed it into those goalposts.
What did you think about old Neil Warnock's piece to camera?
It was fascinating, wasn't it?
Enjoyable.
It looked like, if we're being very generous, maybe he was sort of, you know, trying to look at his reflection, see how he was looking.
Yeah, maybe.
He's just being wonderfully silly.
Really
just
strange.
Did, just didn't like the lips, the lip licks and the...
Yeah.
Yeah.
Someone was telling me that Neil is being quite public with how much he can't wait to see the back of the Premier League. So I don't know if he thinks he's going to keep his job.
It's never been kind to him, really.
No, the thing is, that's a misnomer. Warnock likes the Premier League.
Yeah.
He loves being in the Premier League.
Just saying what I've heard.
It's been a tough season for them, though, hasn't it?
It really
even
has.
Without all the terrible
stuff.
To be fair,
but Warnock said, he said that it was one of, maybe even his best season as a manager. Now, one can say, well, he's his own PR machine going off on one there. But actually, considering the resources and considering, it's a great shame they didn't get to the last day.
Yeah.
That is a shame. They have done quite admirably
when
well.
When they first came to the Premier League, I thought they're going to just kick the crap out of everyone. And to their credit, they kind of torn that down a little bit and played a bit of football. And I didn't see them being the last one relegated. Yeah. I thought they were going to be straight down.
And they've also dealt with incredible hardship this season.
Yeah,
hugely.
Right?
I think they've been very unlucky. They have been unlucky. And I think that they can hold their heads up high, definitely.
Yeah.
I mean, they did, but strange that Palace did their old friends Brighton a favour.
Yeah, it is. I think the really sad thing for Cardiff, obviously, is that, you know, what they were missing was a goal scorer. And obviously, we know they're in incredibly tragic circumstances as to why they weren't able to
absolutely.
To try and address that. And
Again, it's a good point to bring up, Jim. You throw that in the mix and so on. You know, they've had a lot going on there.
Mm.
They really have done. But now Brighton can happily get spanked by Man City on the final day and not worry.
Yeah, well, maybe the brakes will be off and they'll just batter City.
Brighton beat Man City.
Chocks away.
And doesn't
Liverpool
likely,
losing
does
against
it?
Wolves and Man City are okay.
Yeah. They had a lot of joy against Arsenal, that's all I'll say.
Too much. You nearly got a winner.
Yeah.
Deary me. Shame for Cardiff, but great for Palace, though. Considering Palace, it started off a bit ropey. Their home form has been poor, and that was another win on the road. They've comfortably stayed up, and Hodgson, he's done a good job.
Mm. Yeah.
Done a good job, Roy the boy, just as well after that Iceland loss. Now,
redemption.
Still not forgot that.
Are we ready to go down to the Championship?
Yeah.
Norwich won the league on the last day.
Let's go down with Neil.
Yeah.
Yeah.
They've been great this season, haven't they, Norwich? Mm. Perhaps not as much love as we should have given them on the Football Ramble, but they've been absolutely superb under Daniel Farke.
I feel like if you play for Norwich and you put in a poor performance, you have directly let down Delia Smith.
Mm.
And I think that would be a very hard thing to deal with. She's like the nation's mum.
I'm
not bothered by Delia Smith, if I'm honest.
Berry's better than Delia Smith.
Why do you like Delia so much?
Well, it's not that I'm particularly a huge fan of Delia, but she has a very mumsy quality and is very just... She's nice. She's just nice Delia, isn't she?
Oh, I see what you mean.
I think behind closed doors, she'd be a shit. she's got a darkness.
What did you
maybe
say?
A shit.
I think the way the patriarchy works is that every woman who you've ever seen on television has had at some point had to be a much stronger.
Where's this
and
coming
more
from?
Ruthless
Where's
individual.
This coming from?
I'm just trying to think.
But Jim's
of
not saying she's
there's
ruthless.
No, there's no mumsy
no,
figures on television. I'm thinking
Mary Berry.
She's not mumsy. She looks wild. I could fully see her attacking someone with a golf club. That's all I'm saying.
Yeah. Yeah, well, I know what you mean.
Hitting the garden with a golf club.
What about Karen Brady?
Again, ruthless businesswoman.
Everyone
has to be ruthless.
Are you a ruthless businesswoman, Pete?
Yes.
What about Nick Hewer?
He's only saying
because he did the impression.
Do it. Get over with it.
No.
Leeds versus Derby.
No, do you Nick Hewer?
Oh, I see.
Welcome to Countdown.
Yeah, no, just stop this now. Norwich.
What do you want?
I want to talk about Norwich.
I can do loads of impressions.
One cave.
Norwich.
Oh yeah, Pete. We discovered earlier that Pete can do a really good Mick Jagger impression.
No, it's not.
I mean, it's not
when the mics are on.
No, he doesn't want to do it. It's just for us. It's a little secret one.
Okay, Keith.
Oh, very secret.
Yeah.
All right, let's talk about the championship.
Yeah, so well done, Norwich. You've got your mention. Yeah. What more do you want? Hey, you've got Premier League football.
We've already won the league.
Big money coming in. Big money.
Oh, we've won the league, but we still want the Football Ramble to validate us.
Big money in little Norwich. That's what it's going
to
be.
No, they've done very well. And it'll be curious, I think, to see what way they try and play next season.
Because they're going to look at Wolves and think, that's a bit of us, that. We need a load of Portuguese people to come in, some big money, and then we'll be fine.
No.
No, okay.
No, I don't think that. At all, actually.
At least,
no.
I think Ipswich are going to be like, oh, so glad we don't have to play them this season.
They'll put a picture of them.
I don't think Ipswich will be pleased that there is a whole division separating them from Norwich anymore, personally.
They'll put a picture of the Fulham team this year up on the mantelpiece to keep the youth team away from the fire. And say, that's not how to do it.
Yeah.
But you know, it very much is an element. Wolves are a bit different because the situation they've got there and the funding and the plan they've got in place. Mm-hmm. There is a situation when teams go from the Championship to the Premier League. And in a way, Cardiff and Fulham are two great examples.
You win every week.
You either double down and you go, we're going to try and make it difficult for other teams and we're going to be a bit more reactive. Or they try and do what Fulham did and say, right, we can actually do this style in the Premier League with all these really, in theory, better players, and it can or cannot work. It depends.
Do you think it didn't work for Fulham in the end?
I don't think it worked for him. No, I was thinking about this earlier. I think, you know, that actually, on reflection, it didn't work
for him. It's interesting, though, isn't it? Because we see this every single season. It's always the case, or very rarely the case. I suppose Cardiff last season would be an exception to it, that the winners of the Championship, or certainly the teams that go up automatically, do have this sort of gung-ho style, and they are just the best footballing side in the league. We saw it with Bournemouth, we've seen it far back as Swansea.
Fulham were the best footballing side in the Championship last season.
Yeah, Leicester, with the season they came up, they were brilliant. They blitzed the Championship, and then some of them can continue it and others can't, and it just seems to be, there's no like magic formula for making it work.
Sure, I mean, Bournemouth would be a template for people. I know Bournemouth have spent a few quid, don't get me wrong, but it's not like Wolves, it's a bit different. They've kept the same manager and they've managed to adapt. Well, and they're not particularly defensive. They're not a boring side to watch or anything like that.
I get the impression with Bournemouth that Eddie Howe's done a pretty good job of keeping a really good idea in his mind about what his spine is and then just adding bits and pieces to that, you know?
It will be interesting to see what Norwich can do next season.
Yeah, absolutely. I'm really excited to see Pookie in the Premier League.
Oh, yeah.
See how he adapts.
See the
I
Pook.
Like him a lot.
Indeed, yeah. At Derby, they're in the playoffs. Lampard's lot got themselves over the line at the expense of Pulis's Middlesbrough by 1 point. They play Leeds United.
Middlesbrough really didn't deserve to be in there. They've fallen off a bloody cliff.
They have. Bielsa was asked if he'd spy on Derby again. And he wasn't happy, and he said, you know it's a crime to spy. And then he said, if it was a joke, I didn't understand it. It's not that I don't have a sense of humour, it's that you're not funny.
Fair enough.
I agree with that, yeah.
Team Bielsa there, aren't we?
Withering. Yeah, absolutely. Slam those hecklers, Bielsa. They had a time of it, didn't they, against Ipswich? Did you see the penalty? Woo.
Bit of momentum going into the playoffs.
Is it three defeats and a draw in the last four games going into the playoffs? It's not great.
They're due. It's like roulette. If it's black, it's bound to be red next.
That's
what I tell everyone.
Yeah.
Join my roulette system.
Right, that was heads. Where do you want to go? Tails.
Tails. Definitely. Tails. Obviously going to be tails.
But speaking of Middlesbrough, they actually kind of rallied well. I mean, they won five of their last six, but they had that six defeats in a row before that, which put them on the cusp of going out
of
it.
And when Pete says fell off a cliff, he is very much referring to not the five wins recently.
No, though. I just want to add further context by saying, yes, they fell off a cliff, but unbeknownst to anyone else watching the movie, they were hanging on by their fingernails on a little branch. They stayed there for a bit and then they fell off.
Yeah. No, then Lampard came along and stamped on their end.
Yeah, then Aidan Flint came along and headed him back up on top of the cliff.
Absolutely. Villa v West Brom.
Yeah.
In the playoffs. Villa's unbeaten run came to an end against Norwich. Understandable, though. Is that good or bad? Does it matter?
I think
Who do we fancy? Come on, let's have a look.
I don't think Leeds will get through the Derby test,
personally. Derby v who, then, in the final?
Villa.
Derby v Villa.
I think Villa will get through. I'm not so sure about Leeds and Derby.
I think Villa will beat Leeds in the final.
Yeah?
Yeah, last minute goal.
Yeah, Bielsa will let them score again.
Yeah. Oh, man. My goodness, how about that? All right, then, good end of the Championship. League One. Luton won the league. They have been very good, especially in the second half of this season.
Yep.
Two promotions in 2 years for old Luton Town.
Very good.
That's very impressive, that.
I'm obsessed with Mick Harford's Twitter, who every time there's an away match, they
post. Oh, I've seen this.
He just put it on the WhatsApp group. Yeah. Good morning. Like, on every single post, every morning, he'll sort of go, Good morning, wishing all Luton Town fans a safe journey to the Valley today. Good morning, wishing all Luton Town fans a safe journey to Bristol Rovers today. Safe travels.
Are you scheduling these, Mick?
Hope nothing happens to you on the way to the ground.
It'd be a terrible shame if you didn't get to Burton. It's like really threatening. Yeah. And he's actually quite a threatening, he's got quite a threatening presence.
Yeah, but that shows you the level, because when old Ronnie Koeman was in charge of Everton, or Southampton as well, it would be like a sort of a flashing GIF image sometimes of him, picture of him, obviously, in the main centre of attention, with maybe the two teams, you know, Everton v whoever or whatever, and it would just say match day with an exclamation mark or two.
I love Ronald Koeman's Twitter. Though he's been more quiet recently though, because obviously the problem is he tweets a lot more in Dutch now. Selfish.
I know. Yeah. If the Netherlands beat England in the UEFA Nations League, he'll be tweeting away.
Yeah. Can I give some credit to Luton, not only for what you said, but also because they lost their manager halfway through the season.
Did?
He went to Stoke, and at that point, I was rubbing my hands together, thinking, oh, that's them going to be falling off a cliff now, to use Pete's terms. But it didn't happen, so they've done very well.
Thousands were on the streets of Luton to see them parade the trophy, which was quite nice. Mm. But 28 games unbeaten. They went before, I think they lost in mid-April.
But they started to wobble. That's the problem. See, if it happens a lot, obviously, towards the business end of the season. And Luton started to wobble. And I think they only secured the title on the final day.
They did,
yeah. And obviously...
Pompey finished fourth.
Yeah. And
fourth.
The frustrating thing about that is, well, there's lots of things. We haven't got all day. But the last three games of the season, so Portsmouth wrestle themselves back into a position where they can get promoted. Yeah. Last three games of the season, they draw two and lose one. Mm. And they lost at home to Peterborough.
Not even third.
Yeah. If they won those games, they've been promoted. In fact, they might have even won the league.
They're up against Sunderland, aren't they, in the playoffs, are they?
No, they will be, Sunderland.
Yeah.
First leg's on Saturday.
Ooh, big one.
I think we're at home.
Big one.
I can't remember, but it's the first leg's on Saturday.
Absolutely. But yeah, Mick Hartford, he'll resume duties as head of recruitment.
I've had enough of that. He's done as a Dan.
I've proved my point.
Yeah, yeah.
You think to yourself, the club would be like, hang on a minute, Mick. Is it an outrageous suggestion for you to maybe stay on? Because you did pretty well here.
Never do that, because as soon as you go permanent, you do the old Solskjaer, don't you?
Yeah, that's very true. That's very true. All right, ladies and gentlemen, after the break, it's League Two time.
Hi, Marcus.
Hi, Gabby. The previous show, sponsored by Bet365, is out on Thursday. Lukey, baby, we need a new best better.
I think we do, yeah, exactly. Mm. Yeah. I can't remember. Shall I check? Carry on, I'll check. I'll go to you in a second. It's my fault, I've got to check.
We got very excited and went, they didn't do it. And then we're like, I can't remember what the bet is.
let's spare a moment or two.
Oh, hang on, no, sorry. We cancel that because we've actually got a Man City themed best bet, which is Man City to... That's why it's not flashed up, because I haven't actually played yet.
Oh, that's right.
Man City need to score a penalty against Leicester, which is tonight. So you can tune in and play along with the best bet. If not, we'll need a new one on Thursday. Show at thefootballramble.com with best bet in the subject line. If not, Jim McIntyre is still in the hot seat.
Notts County are very much in a cold seat now. They've been relegated out of the Football League for the first time in their 131-year history.
Boo.
How about that, eh?
Very sad. It has to be someone, though, doesn't it?
Yeah. And because, I mean, it's a great shame for Sven's former club. They were relegated, thank you. They were relegated with Yeovil, who were not that long ago in the Championship, of course. But, of course, they went down. Big Souls Macclesfield stayed.
They did. So Notts County is a terrible story because they've been essentially mismanaged and... It's a pretty proud club, to say the least.
Incredibly proud club.
Which is 131 years.
The last time they went to Juventus, they got a 1-1 draw.
Yeah, exactly. You can't argue with that.
It was only a few years ago.
Yeah, and but Big Sol's done a great job. Yeah, they're undefeated in the last three games. Won one of those, drew two. Kept him up there.
Difficult circumstances as well.
But now the hard work starts for Sol. He deserves a huge amount of credit. But now they've got an even keel for the start of the season.
I wonder though if this is the thing for some. Somebody coming into a job like Macclesfield, very tricky scenario. He's kept them up. He's done a job for them.
So you think he might want to go somewhere else then?
Well, yeah, I just somewhere where he's almost sort of proved his point. He can manage a team. He's managed to keep them up. Okay, only just. But again, as I say, difficult circumstances. Mm. I'd like to see him get a better side. perhaps a more organised club kind of thing. You know,
he said. I mean,
very few of those down there. To be fair,
it's worth pointing out.
Well, give it like, League One or Championship or something.
In November, he took over, and there were 7 points adrift.
Yeah,
and he's kept them safe. And he said, "I want to start again here, and I want to get a pre-season under my belt and have some kind of budget. I've had to beg, borrow, and steal, and utilise my contacts to get through. It's brilliant. We've not been relegated." I don't think anyone wanted to take the job when I took over. So
he's doing it the right way. You've got to have a bit of admiration for that.
Is Andy Cole going to stay there, a striking coach?
Oh, yeah.
That's a good point. Yeah, I mean, I would love to see what he can do with a full season or with a full pre-season under his belt and all that stuff that he's making noises about because, you know, he has to fight so hard just to get a job, to get any job. And he took a job nobody wanted and he's done a brilliant job at it. So good luck to him. And I hope that people start taking notice of what he can do over a full season.
He also took a job in a situation where there's a lot of jeopardy on the line. There's a lot on the line there. Yeah, for a team to drop out of the Football League is massive, whoever they are. Mm-hmm. Even if you're a team who's not traditionally been a league club, when you get up there, that's kind of the promised land for them. And you go down again, it's drastic. For a team like Notts County, it's unthinkable. Mm. Macclesfield, I mean, dropping out the Football League again would be dreadful because it took him a long time to get back up there. So he's done it in a situation. It reminds me a bit of when Harry Kane talked about when he went to play, I think it was for Millwall on loan. He said, it stood me in good stead because I knew for these players I was playing with, it actually meant something. I wasn't living in this sort of mollycoddled environment where we're all, you know, going to be millionaires. These guys relied on staying in this league and doing well. And for Big Sol, the reality of what football can be like there, because let's be fair to him, he's not ever played at that level. He's always been top quality. So it's an amazing education for him as well.
And for Notts County, didn't
he? Great experience.
Obviously a little bit better.
Yeah, but you know what I mean. But that's later on, you know.
And they had loads of money.
And he only had one game, I think, something like that.
No, I don't think they ever paid him.
Newcastle then.
Better.
Macclesfield will be playing Leighton Orient, among others, because Leighton Orient are going to be back in League Two.
I was at a pub on Saturday, which on the wall has got the original Leighton Orient crest.
Oh, right.
From 1881 or whatever.
How about
it is.
That?
Yeah, it's interesting.
Lincoln won the league, though, the Cowley brothers.
They won it a while back now, didn't they?
Yeah,
they're doing very well.
They've been brilliant. A little mensch for them. We're ready to go north of the border to the Scotch Premiership.
Nick Hewer just crept in there.
You will become Nick Hewer.
He often does.
Yeah.
Celtic won the league at Aberdeen, 8 in a row. Neil Lennon steadied that ship after Brendy Rodgers jumped overboard.
Yeah, it's like a reunion tour.
Did you hear what that Italian journalist was reporting yesterday?
I did. I think I know what you're going
to
say.
Ear to the ground.
Oh, I did see. Yeah. Jose Mourinho has been offered the Celtic.
Apparently, they've approached Jose Mourinho.
Yeah. Like the same time, Rangers offered Ronaldo. Brazilian Ronaldo.
Yeah, we'll see. Gig. A little bit different. I think you know that.
Wasn't the rumour of that was that he would only have to play in the Champions League?
Yeah.
And the Old Firm games as well.
And Cup game.
Yeah.
I don't think Jose Mourinho will take that job. But it will be interesting to see who does, because I don't think they'll keep Neil Lennon on. And I'm not sure even if Neil Lennon actually wants it. So you would imagine there will be a new man at the helm.
The other side of Glasgow is kind of fascinating as well. Because
it is.
Gerrard was saying after the game at the weekend, because obviously Alan McGregor was sent off, he's saying he's run out of ideas about how to stop his players getting sent off.
They've had 9 red cards this season.
I think it's 12 in all comps.
In all comps.
I think it might be 12.
Morelos has got about 10 of them.
Yeah.
So sell him and then you...
But the Alan McGregor one was mad because...
Alan McGregor, what are you doing?
Very, very experienced pro, right?
Yeah.
Been around the game a long time.
Would you say it was petty?
Very petty. For those who didn't see it, he kicks the ball out, the guy's closing him down, which I understand can be annoying for keepers. Yeah, but it can be annoying for a keeper.
Yeah,
forward does that, and he follows through and basically studs up in the back,
and then feigns injury.
That's it goes down. That's one thing. So he gets sent off for that, and that's a red card. You shouldn't do that. You can't do it. It's a red card. Okay, so presumably his ban will be for the start of next season.
Ross McCrory, outfield player in goal for the final few minutes.
Loves that. Then Alan McGregor spends a decent amount of time protesting and trying to, and you can lip read him, trying to say to his fellow, to his teammates, he doesn't know what it's for. He doesn't know why he's been so. What are you talking about? Take some responsibility, you complete idiot. You know, it was absolutely ridiculous. And by the way, Rangers are miles away from Celtic. We know that. But there was a time around the middle of the season.
Yeah.
And we talked about it on this show.
Turn of the year.
They had a chance. They were there. But you cannot compete with a team who are already so much more financed than you by doing that kind of stuff. And it's been consistent for them all through the season.
I find it quite fascinating with Gerrard, because Gerrard has had a lot of disdain sometimes for some of his players and some of the performances and antics this season.
Mm.
And I actually, from the outside looking in, and I'll be happy to be told otherwise, I think he's done an okay job. He's got them in very much second place.
Mm.
And as you said, they're just not as good. I mean, with Rodgers now going, The way Rodgers Celtic were playing, they were far better. Easily the best Celtic side we've seen in a few years, you would argue. It depends who comes in, because if they did get Jose Mourinho, they'll get, you know, 29 in a row. Well, not that it'll be there that long. But you know what I mean? And so they've won 8 in a row. Rangers fans will say, oh, well, not all of them were when we were in the league, and Celtic fans rightly won't care. So Rangers need to make a statement. They need to, for what goes on in that city, they need to put a stop to this. And of course, Celtic might want to make sure they get 10 in a row, an unprecedented 10 in a row. Yeah. So what happens with those two clubs with regards to spending and personnel coming in and whatnot? It'd be quite interesting.
But, you're right, it is 9 red cards for Rangers. Apologies, not 12. But they've been involved in games that have featured 20 red cards this season.
Well, I mean, that's not...
But it's interesting, though.
Well, that's not...
But the point about you just made there, I think, is also fascinating, purely because you've got an array of managers, and we've just talked about one with Sol Campbell, and Frank Lampard will be another one, Steven Gerrard's one. You know, the first question for those type of managers at the moment, this new generation, is, are you going to stay? What are you going to do? Because people will probably expect Steven Gerrard to do a year or two at Rangers and go somewhere else. I wonder if he'll even stay.
I think he will. The noises he's making, unless he's offered something, you know, unless Liverpool...
A crystal skull.
Well, if Liverpool come second, you know, will they bin Klopp off? he's failed to deliver them a trophy, as Jose Mourinho reminded us. I think he'll stay. But of course, the big question is, Celtic are on for a treble-treble.
They're playing each other next week, though, aren't they? As well.
Rangers Celtic are, yeah. So a bit of pride there. Yeah. But they're on for a treble-treble. There's only one team that stands in the way.
The Gorgies.
It's the Scottish Cup final soon enough, gentlemen.
Yeah.
I think we might have been Menorca.
Say no more.
It's a big one. All right then, ladies and gentlemen, let's go to the WhatsApp group.
You got a little jingle for that, Pete?
WhatsApp!
For God's sake!
Welcome, everybody. We now know what some of the inside of Ian Holloway's house looks like. Do you see this video?
I haven't seen this video.
I've seen screen caps.
Ian Holloway was... I think it was the Sky Sports cameras were invited around. And, of course, Holloway not been in management since QPR gave him the boot in May last year. And he was showing them around this room, which is where he paints and has a lot of... it's a sort of... What did he describe it as? It's an art room, but a progressive art room or something like that.
Art therapy or something like that, I expect.
It wasn't therapy, but you know, it was an art room anyway. Tons of art.
Some people use it to like unwind and that kind of thing.
Yeah, so it's almost like a sort of an art gallery, but in progress sort of thing. Very interesting, to be fair. And he's decent. There was an amazing paintings that he's done. One of the Joker from The Dark Knight, I think one of his and so on. And I thought to myself, this is interesting and a fair play, and I'm quite glad. Why are we seeing this, though?
What do you mean? Just a bit of a sort of going. Well,
there was no theme to it.
Well, and he sort of mentioned that, you know, he's open to offers. And I thought, is this a whole ruse for getting Holloway a job?
I'll paint you. You give me a job, I'll paint you.
I'll paint you like one of my French girls.
It's quite an interesting
character.
But look, don't get me wrong. I'm not angry. I'm not.
Why would you be angry?
Well, no.
Holloway creating art.
Put your bloody easel down, Holloway.
If you pay your subscription fee, you could say that what on earth is this about?
true.
But my point was really is kind of like, as lovely as this is and whatnot. What is the... Because I don't think they chatted a bit.
Sky's quite pally with him, though. He's on, like, Soccer M every third week. Also,
is this not like a sort of demonstration of the sort of, like, kind of basic nature of a lot of football fans? The idea that man paints makes him really weird.
Yeah.
I don't know. I didn't see the piece. So I don't know what the angle was. But he's also really into metal detecting in Holloway.
Mm. Metal detecting?
Yeah.
Could have found a brooch. Did he find that really old brooch?
I know what metal detecting is, but how do you know that?
Someone told me.
Someone told me about it.
I like it. I like managers having interest in
bloody
football.
It's just normal, isn't it?
No. Again, if it was a, you know, this program's called At Home with Ian Holloway.
Yeah.
But fine, absolutely fine. As a sort of a newsy piece on Sky News. do you know what I'm saying here? It's the incongruity.
I agree.
Of it. And then him subtly mentioning, yeah, you know, I'm open to offers.
Yeah,
that kind of
someone's done him a favour there, haven't they?
I think so.
Yeah, I told you that once I was doing a show and the person I was on the show with kept getting texts from a manager saying, can you mention me, please? Because I really want to get another job. Yeah. He's just been fired from a job, actually. It was.
Don't say who it was.
It was Alex McLeish.
Get Ian Holloway back
wicked
in there.
Whispers. Mm.
Sacked in the morning. Don't think so.
Yeah.
There we are, ladies and gentlemen. That is the end of the show. We're off to watch Manchester City versus Leicester City. Yeah, we're going to talk about that on Thursday.
I'm going to do some paintings.
Do it.
You big weirdo.
It's not why I'm weird, but yeah, thank
why?
You.
Why? Are you looking
I've
for
actually a, got a couple of Pete Donaldson.
Are you looking for another job, Pete?
When we used to have, when we used to bother having meetings, you used to do a lot of doodles of me. I've got one of me as a dinosaur, one of me as a dog, and I've got them at home.
One of the CEOs of the outside advertising firm Jesse Decor bought one of my original paintings.
How much?
I think it was 150 quid, 200 quid.
Is it the swear word one?
Yeah. Love that. Yeah.
Blimey.
It's just the C word on the canvas.
Wasn't it split over two canvases?
So you hang it in a different way, and I called it, I can't remember what I called it, but I wrote a beautiful flowery explanation why it's like that.
They've swallowed that whole, haven't they?
Say again, yeah? Exactly, mate.
This is a lovely story about it. It was an original painting. I sold it for good money. What was it? It was just the C word on a canvas. Yeah.
But from what I remember, how you told me the story, Pete, was that it was split over two canvases, and you wrote a thing about how you could, you know, it's all about the idea
of obscenity, isn't it? Yeah.
Sometimes something is obscene, but it depends on the viewpoint, and sometimes it isn't. And you said that it was complete nonsense, and it was the proudest your dad has ever been of you that you managed to sell that.
Yeah, that I managed to hoodwink a man to buy some of my art. Actually, two people, because that was a commission. He'd seen it on eBay, and this guy wanted another one, so I painted it as a commission.
What are you doing? Wasted your time with us?
I know, right?
Knock a few more out. If anyone wants any.
If anyone wants a canvas with the C word on it.
We'll put Pete to work.
I'll do a Donny special.
We'll split it 50-50.
Pete did an excellent drawing of Fabio Cannavaro as a chair once.
He did as well, yeah. Mm. I've got that still as well.
Yeah, yeah, absolutely.
I've kept all his doodles, because in case he goes on one of those mad sprees, I want to make
like
worth a bit
Manson's.
Money. Yeah.
Manson's daubings.
There we go.
Let's end it on that note. Ladies and gentlemen, thank you very much. We'll see you on Thursday. Thank you, Luke Moore.
Thank you.
Thank you, Pete Donaldson.
Later.
Thank you, Jim Campbell.
You're welcome.
And thank you to me too.
Tired of ads interfering with your favorite sports podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Stay ahead of the game by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/sportsadfree. That's amazon.com/sportsadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
I'm Kate Thornton. Join me every week on White Wine Question Time, the podcast that asks famous faces three thought-provoking questions over three glasses of wine.
It's very rare to be introduced with such a thorough introduction, and it's kind of lovely to listen to all that and go, yeah, I've had a good life, right?
You really have.
How did you find that?
I can't even remember.
Yeah, you do your research, Kate, man. I'll tell you that.
Do you know what? You are the only person ever, no other journalist has ever made that connection.
Wow, what a great question.
And receives some truly memorable answers.
And Tom Cruise came and Nicole Kidman. I go to him, listen, before you go, Tom, I just want you to know, if you fancy a foursome, I'm up for it, and I know Anne-Marie doesn't mind.
When I first dated my now husband, I joined a gym for, I'm going to say, £1,000 a year, just so I could go off and have a poo.
Actually, I got heckled once in Wales, and there was a bloke at the bar on crutches, and he actually said to me, I'd rather fall over than listen to this shit, and he threw his crutches at me and fell over. Can you believe that?
I've got some cat's ashes, I don't know who they are.
You've been catfished by your own cat.
Exactly, seriously,
man. Dad, have you thought about putting in a breakfast nook? And my dad would think of that. Have you thought about getting your own fucking house?
How did you give a duck an orgasm, Craig?
It's good with them, you know. And on my way around a duck.
So, if you fancy a sit-down with the likes of Adam Hills, Tom Allen, Hannah Waddingham, Phil Tufnell, James Acaster and Ed Gamble, Daisy May Cooper, and tons more, then join me every Tuesday and Friday. Search White Wine Question Time in your podcast app to subscribe and listen now. White Wine Question Time is a Stack production.
Acast powers the world's best podcasts. Here's a show that we recommend.
It's the question that's on everyone's mind. How do you live a good life? Is it about work, health, or relationships? What about happiness, meaning, and money? What really matters? And how can you dramatically improve all of these things? These are the questions we explore every week on the top-ranked podcast, Good Life Project, hosted by award-winning author and perpetual seeker, Jonathan Fields, which also happens to be me. Every week, I sit down with world-renowned researchers, experts, and scions of art and industry on the Good Life Project podcast. This week, in fact, we're sharing a fantastic conversation with the author, Elizabeth Gilbert, about a single practice that changed her life. Listen to the Good Life Project podcast wherever you get your podcasts. Acast helps creators launch, grow, and monetize their podcasts everywhere. Acast.com.
Acast helps creators launch, grow, and monetize their podcasts everywhere. Acast.com.